Welcome back to another episode of Young and Loud Sports Talk. I'm your host, Liam Lawson. Me and my friends this summer, we started back up a wiffle ball league that we've had for a while that we do every summer, and I decided to record a podcast about it because this year is really intense. We have we've expanded to six teams. We have about six players on each team. It's going to be a lot. It's already been a lot of fun. We've already played our first three games. We're going to finish out our regular season today at, I believe, 3 o'clock. And I'm just going to walk you through how our league is doing, the teams in our league, and what today is going to look like, and the playoff picture. So this year we introduced two new teams. We used to just do four teams, a couple of pool play games, and then bracket play. But this year we decided to go with six teams, a regular season, then a tournament after that. So the team that is in the lead right now, they're 3-0. They only need one win to secure their spot in the playoffs, and they can get two wins to secure the one seed, is the Springdale Six Amigos, managed by Jackson Doty. On the Six Amigos, the players on that are Jackson Doty, Cade Chestnut, Carson Conwell, Walker Necessary, Owen Gaucher, and Lincoln McMahon. This is a pretty solid team. But you can kind of tell that Doty was looking for quite a bit in the first early rounds, drafting Cade and Carson early. You can kind of tell he's going to rely on Cade and himself for pitching. But because of the new pitching rule, he might have to hand the ball to Carson or maybe even Walker Necessary to take the bump during these games coming up. We also have the Bentonville Ballers, managed by Kipton Kennard. This team... is very feast or famine. They have a pretty stacked roster, but they have they're very young. They have two very young players. That team is Kipton Kennard, Jax Holloman, the first overall pick in the draft. Bear Holloman, Jax's little brother, was selected in the second round. Bear is not even 10 yet. He's one of the younger people I was talking about. Kaysen Hookfin, Griffin Honey, Hudson Honey's younger brother, also not even 10 yet, was picked in the fourth round for them, and Brax Terry selected in the fifth round. This is a pretty all-rounded team, and they did pretty well. I wasn't really expecting them to go 2-1. I thought they could definitely win a couple games, but I was not sure if they could make it to the playoffs with just all the young people on that team. I wasn't sure how consistently they could win, but they did pretty well going 2-1. And then my team, the Lowell Rednecks, is, well, me, obviously. And then a couple picks. I'll just kind of walk you through what I was thinking. First round, I went for Bryce Allen because I was mostly going to attack pitching, mostly because I knew that I could draft hitting later and get a couple people get a person for lob ball that can still hit the ball pretty well on lob. So I got Bryce Allen first. But then my person I was going to pick in the second round, Trey Williams, got picked in the first round by the Cavemen. So instead of picking Trey, when I came back and it was my pick again, I picked Clay Carlson just to get a solid hitter to get the season started. Unfortunately, Clay in his first three games has not been hitting very well. He's walked quite a bit and hasn't really hit that well. He's been moved down to 7-hole, not even sure if he's going to be able to show up today. He's going to be with the football team for like a Rogers Aquatic Park activity thing. It's a lot of fun. I was going to go to it, but I decided not to. Then in the third round, I selected Preston Kansky, which honestly was a great pick. I was not expecting Preston to still be on the board by the third round. I was really deciding between him and Clay in the second round. I picked up Clay, and he was still there in the third round. So I picked Preston for a pretty much dual-threat Shohei Ohtani type. Hasn't hit amazingly, but has hit really consistently, put balls in play on the ground, and made the other team make plays. He also has come in not really too nasty stuff, but he can locate really well. So he's a really nice middle-inning reliever, or someone if we kind of run short on starters, me and Bryce, I can just put him in a pinch. John Hayes Holloman, I selected him in the fourth round, and he's done pretty well this season. I was actually expecting him to be our lob ball player, but he's hit well without lob ball, so I figured he's going to be fine without it. And then my last pick, I picked up Fisher Bennington, who currently is our law ball person. And after the draft ended, we still had a couple of free agents. So I picked up Riggins Foshee, and boy, am I glad I made that acquisition. Because Riggins, I did not think that he was going to hit well, so I started him at 6-hole. Our first game, he hit a home run. Second game, he hit 2 home runs. And third game, he also hit a home run. Riggins has definitely been coming through at the plate. Definitely not a great pitcher. He gave up a walk-off grand slam against Cave Springs. That's our only loss this season. So he's probably not going to pitch again this season, but definitely going to hit 3-hole, maybe 4-hole. As long as we can get Preston, Clay, and John Hayes on base consistently, and then have Riggins up, we'll be set. This next team that I'm about to talk about has definitely not lived up to their draft stock. Hudson Honey had the 3rd overall pick in the draft, and coming out of the draft, it looked like he easily had the strongest team. It looked like he was easily going to win the championship, but his team started off 0-3. It may be because he was not able to come to our first 3 games, being sick with pneumonia, and also his first round pick. I think he had to leave early for the last game for them. So he was definitely pelted by just not having a ton of good players. But he will be here today, and I can expect them. They're just trying not to face elimination, so I would not be surprised if they went 3-0 today and maybe sealed their spot in the playoffs. They had a very good team coming out of the draft, but on paper, this team was really good. But out on the field, it looked like they just didn't have great chemistry, weren't great fielders. They couldn't really figure out who to give lob ball to. They bounced around a couple players, and that ultimately is why they lost. They ended up even cutting their 3rd round pick, and which was Murdoch Brown. Their 3rd round pick was picked up by, I believe he was picked up by Fayetteville or Springdale. But anyway, the Rogers Bombers roster, their first pick was Easton Swanson, which is a great pick, but Easton just has not played as well as he played last year. Last year, he was a lockdown pitcher, great hitter. He was one of the best pitchers in the league. This year, he's been an okay pitcher, and he definitely has not hit to what I think Hudson drafted him to. So Easton has been a quality player. In fact, Hudson proposed a trade to me. He wanted Bryce Allen from me, and in return, I would get Easton. I was sticking with Bryce because Bryce has been swinging it well, and although his last appearance on the mound wasn't great, I'm sure today when we're playing today when we're playing Bentonville, he can get some of his confidence back in the second game as a starter. Second pick, I wasn't really sure where to go with this one. He picked Logan Wessel, who has been the easiest on and off player in our league. He either has been hitting dinger after dinger and just giving so many RBIs and runs, putting his team up way ahead, or he's just a strikeout and Hudson thinks about giving him lob ball. Logan definitely is a great hitter, but I think he probably could have got something else out of the second round, maybe more pitching, because especially now that he cut his 3rd round pick, who he kind of picked to be a relief pitcher, especially now that he cut him, I think he should be looking for a little bit more pitching now. Yes, 3rd pick, Murdoch Brown, was cut after playing 3 games. He was just simply, he did not get a single hit in all the games, in all 3 games that we played. He went 0 for 12. And also, Hudson drafted him for pitching, and Murdoch lost 2 games for them. Murdoch definitely did not have his best outing, just his best appearance those games. I think they probably should have held on to him because it was just 3 games. And they were very short of players. Now they're even shorter. I think they only have 5 people on their roster now. So I think Hudson should have held on to him. But, I mean, it's up to him. And if his team can excel without Murdoch, that's a good pick, I guess. Sawyer Shelby was selected in the 4th round. I'm actually very surprised that Sawyer was selected this late. I was really thinking about picking Sawyer in the 3rd round, but I remembered that Preston was still on the board, so I picked up PK. But yeah, Sawyer was he's definitely going to hit the ball well. He's not really going to hit a ton of tanks. He's definitely a power hitter in real baseball, but kind of a contact hitter in wiffle ball. He's going to use that speed to get on base a lot if he can just keep on slapping it on the ground towards the third baseman. Definitely can pitch, but I don't think Hudson has really seen him pitch enough to be trusted with him. And then Noah McMahon, the other, Noah gets Law Ball for them. He was their last pick of the draft. Noah actually hit his first tank off of Lob on the shorter field at my grandparents' house in the third game that he played in, I believe. Couple other, there's about two more teams left that I haven't discussed, and this team has been, I mean, I don't know. I really expected this team to go 0-3. They didn't do amazingly. They went 1-2, but they still did a lot better than I thought they would. Declan Markle manages the Fayetteville Fearless. First round pick, Sutton Murr, which normally, if we're doing like a baseball league over the summer, that would be a great pick, but Sutton, really, all he can really do, he's pretty much just a contact hitter, and I know he's like the fastest kid in America, but like, all he's gonna do is just put the ball in play and then hope to be safe. Sutton isn't a great pitcher, and when he does pitch, it's either going to be right down the middle or he's going to be filling the bases up by walking a lot of people. So, I just right out of this draft, I did not think this was a quality pick. Second round, he picked Joseph Young, which is definitely when I expected Joseph to go. Joseph is a very talented baseball player, kind of the same as Sutton, just not a great wiffle ball player. But he's still pretty good. That's a pretty quality pick because Joseph, I mean, he can pitch. He's not the best pitcher, but he can pitch just fine. Bodie Connor selected in the third round. I really expected Bodie to go off in wiffle ball because Bodie is just an insane power hitter. He can rake the ball in real baseball, but Bodie did not start off his season great. He actually at one point was the person on their team that was getting a lob ball for a little bit, and he actually struck out once at lob ball, but he's definitely bounced back a little bit. Ethan Sterl was selected in the fourth round to the Fayetteville Fearless. I haven't really played a much wiffle ball with Ethan. I've played plenty of blitz ball, which pretty isn't really the same thing because pitching and hitting are a lot harder in that. But I haven't really seen Ethan play that much. When we played Fayetteville, he did just fine. So I guess seeing Sterl go in the fourth round was a pretty good pick by Declan. That's probably where I would have selected Ethan if I had it. And then after that, he selected Turner Murr, Sutton's little brother. So now they're on the same team. Turner is now getting lob ball for them instead of Bodie. Turner definitely has the potential to be one of their best players, but I think Turner, I mean, this is what the league is for, but I think Turner's just out there to have fun and really doesn't care what happens in his at bat. And I guess that's what we're playing here for. But at the same time, he's just not looking like he's trying at all, and he's kind of hindering his team like that. The last team is the Cave Springs Cavemen, and this team definitely had the potential to be insane, and they've been okay. They also had a lack of players in our first tournament. They went 1-2. They can definitely seal a spot in the playoffs. I'm not sure if they can go for a 3 or 2 seed. But I think if they do really well today, they can definitely get themselves maybe a 3 seed and possibly a 4 seed. First round pick, I mean, Ryan Prim selected amazingly. He had great picks. I thought all of them were really good picks. It's just his team has just not lived up to what they were last year. His first selection was Trey Williams, and that was an amazing pick. Trey was awesome last year. Played really well, was a great pitcher, hit the ball really well. Second round, he picked Whit Coleman. Same with Trey and Whit. They both hit really well, pitch really well. Third round, he selected Drew Shelton. Drew is kind of like a Bodie Joseph Sutton type. Really good hitter in real baseball. Not a great wiffle ball hitter. So that was a decent pick for third round. I definitely thought Drew was gonna go fourth or possibly even fifth round. In the fourth round, he selected Aiden Castillo, who has not been great for them. Really hope Aiden can turn it around. today because that would be really good for the Cave Springs Cavemen. Because Trey and Witt are both hitting really well, and so is Ryan. But Aiden has just been a little bit of a liability to them in the first three games. But I definitely think he has the potential to be like a star on this team. And he can be just like a lower pick. Even though he was a lower pick, he definitely can provide some pop for this team. Definitely can play pretty well for them. I just don't think he had a great game. And then their last pick was Bryson Kansky, Preston's little brother. He went in the fifth round, and he's been pretty good. He gets lob ball for them, I believe he'll be getting a lob ball for them today. They did make a free agent transaction, picked up Clay Harvey. So I'm not sure who Ryan is going to be giving the lob ball to, but it's going to be probably either Bryson or Ryan. Welcome back, and after discussing the teams and rosters, I want to discuss the final schedules for the rest of the year. So each team will be playing three games today at Honey Park over in Uptown Bentonville. In first place right now are the Springdale Six Amigos. They went 3-0. They've kind of just been unstoppable recently. Springdale, I definitely did not think that they were going to be the kind of leaders of the league. I kind of expected them to be around where my team, Cave Springs, is, which is a pretty solid team, but they're just not perfectly well-rounded. But they went 3-0, but they've got a pretty tough schedule today. They've got, first they are playing my team, which is just going to start the games off with a bang. I believe Jackson Doty will probably start for them. I'm definitely going to start for my team. So that'll be a big-time pitching battle. I really hope Riggins and Bryce and even Preston can help with the bats. I'm definitely going to be pitching kind of around Doty and Cade. But otherwise, I'm just going to try and fill up the zone, see how it looks. After that, Springdale will play Cave Springs, which is that team I was just talking about. That's a really talented team that just wasn't able to pull out a couple wins. I definitely think Cave Springs is going to want to make the playoffs more than anybody else, except for maybe Rogers, who went 0-3 just because they had a lack of players. I think Cave Springs is going to be a pretty tough opponent today. I can definitely expect Trey to start, maybe even Witt to start against Springdale, depending on who they start in their first game. And then after that, they'll be at Kipton Kennard's Bentonville team. They've already beat Bentonville once, Kipton Kennard needs the Bentonville Ballers. They need two wins to make it in the to secure their spot in the playoffs, or one win and two Springdale losses. Same goes with my team: two wins or two Springdale losses. So especially if Bentonville has only won one game and Springdale's won two, they're definitely going to be throwing their best at Springdale. And Springdale, they're going to try and fight their hardest, but I think Bentonville can come out with a win today over Springdale. Bentonville will be at Fayetteville and then at Lowell. They will definitely have to start their bats up a little bit today. I know their pitching is already amazing. They have Kipton on the bump pretty much all the time. They can also put Jax in. I even saw Case and Hookfin doing a little bit of pitching, which is pretty good for them. But I just really hope that the only concern I have for Bentonville is overusing Kipton. That's kind of the same thing I have for Rogers with Hudson, because Kipton is a stud pitcher. But because of the 6-innings rule, you can only pitch 6 innings in the entire day. There will be pretty much a total of 9 innings played throughout the day. So I think they're going to have to use Kipton sparingly in their games, especially if they want to beat Springdale for their last regular season game. My team, we have a pretty tough slate. First, we're starting at Springdale, which will be that pitching battle I just mentioned. So that'll be a pretty tough game. I wouldn't say we'd be lucky to pull out a win, but it would be really good to pull out a win against Springdale, especially because that would keep them from stealing a spot in the playoffs for now, I guess. And it would get us one win or two Springdale or another Springdale loss closer to getting a spot in the playoffs. After that, we will play versus Bentonville. I'm definitely pretty scared for this game because Kipton is definitely just a lockdown pitcher. I can honestly expect if Kipton's going to pitch a whole game, it's probably going to be versus us or versus Springdale. But also, you have to worry about Jax as well. He's a pretty solid pitcher. I had plenty of matchups against him last year, and all of our matchups that I hit against Jax or he hit against me either ended in a home run or strikeout. So me and Jax, it's going to be a pretty – it's. I think Bentonville is definitely going to be our rival this year, depending on how the game goes. After that, we'll be at Rogers. We beat Rogers last time, but that was because they were short of Hudson. They definitely played well. They also had Murdoch on the mound. He gave up four in the first inning. So I just really – Rogers is definitely – they're definitely going to want to hold on to Hudson, just what I'm talking about, Kipton using him sparingly. Because if they burn out Hudson in their first couple of games, and Hudson maybe has no innings, maybe one or even two innings left, they might run out of pitching after that because not having Murdoch anymore. Cave Springs is at Rogers to start it off, which I really think could go either way. Cave Springs is a really talented team, and if anybody beats Rogers, they can knock them out of the playoffs. Rogers is definitely going to want to win every single game that they play, but they're going to have to, just like I said, they're going to have to use Hudson sparingly and make sure their other pitchers can come through without giving up a ton of walks or runs. I definitely think Rogers is going to be fighting the hardest, but Cave Springs is not to be looked over. A couple teams destroyed Cave Springs last games, but I think that's because Cave Springs just kind of gave up in those games. I don't think they're going to be giving up today. They're definitely going to want to make it in the playoffs. Then they'll be at Springdale, which honestly, I think Springdale is going to get demolished in that game. I just have a feeling that Cave Springs is going to come out of nowhere. Witt, Trey, Aiden, and Ryan are just going to step up. They're going to get a couple base runners. Witt's going to hit a home run. Aiden's going to hit a solid line drive or two. Aiden's going to stop popping up to the pitcher like he always does. But, yeah, I think Cave Springs definitely has a chance to beat them. Then they'll be versus Fayetteville. Fayetteville, like I said, they're just not a well-drafted team, but they still did pretty well. They didn't do terribly. But I think as long as they can pitch around their big hitters like Bodie and Joseph and even Sutton as well, I think if they can pitch around those two big threats, they can definitely get another win there. Fayetteville will be versus Bentonville and then versus Rogers, which will be two back-to-back tough games where they're going to have to get their bats going. Fayetteville hasn't been hitting the best. Joseph is just not a great wiffle ball hitter. Bodie has just been struggling in a slump, I guess. And then Sutton's a great hitter, but he's kind of their only really solid hitter. But if they want to win against Bentonville and Rogers, I can guarantee that Hudson and Kipton will pitch against them. I don't know how many innings that'll be. It's up to them because they are the managers. But it's going to be quite a bit, and they're going to have to get their bats going. And then when they're at Cave Springs, they're just going to have really good defense, and they're going to have to throw a lot of strikes. I definitely think the Fayetteville-Cave Springs game is going to be one that I'm going to watch if my team is off, because Fayetteville and Cave Springs, they're both teams, don't have great pitching on either side, but they definitely can hit the ball really well. I mean, I'm not saying Trey's a bad pitcher, but last year he was an amazing pitcher. This year he's just not doing as well. So I definitely think Cave Springs and Fayetteville will be a high-scoring game that is probably going to end with above 10 runs. Lastly, Rogers. This team is going to fight the hardest of any team to make it into the playoffs. They are one loss shy of missing the playoffs. And they don't have the strongest schedule ever. I can definitely expect Hudson to go way back into the bench, find some more pitchers, and just kind of grow them up before the play. If they make the playoffs, they'll have Cave Springs and then Fayetteville. So I definitely can see Hudson going to the bench quite a bit here, maybe pitching Easton for, I mean, Easton could pitch two complete games against Springdale, Cave Springs, and Fayetteville, And then they have Hudson for the entire game for Lowell. They can do really anything. They can be, Hudson can get pretty creative, but I think as soon as their team gets in a pinch, I think you definitely just go straight to Hudson. Hudson is probably, I bet, like, if he came to our first three games and he was pitching, and I bet if he pitches quite a bit today, he definitely would have a chance to win the Cy Young Award. But they're just going to have to make sure that they kind of develop pitchers for the playoffs, but also make sure that they're going to make it to the playoffs. I definitely think it is possible. They have Cave Springs and then Fayetteville, which are two teams, like I said, they're either going to hit really well off of you or they're not going to hit off of you at all. So I think if Hudson can figure them out and put in pitchers that he wants to develop and grow more before the playoffs, I definitely think they can go 3-0. They can even beat my team, depending on how well Hudson pitches against us. And that's pretty much all that's got to be said. I'll walk you through the playoff picture and what that's going to look like after this. Welcome back, and this is just going to be the last short segment of the episode. I'm just going to kind of walk you through the playoff picture. The teams in the playoffs will be beginning to play a lot of games if they can win one or two. Even if they don't, like, even if they're eliminated in, like, the second or third round, they'll still end up playing quite a lot more games than they would not being in the playoffs. So what it's going to look like, game one of the playoffs will be the one seed versus the four seed. And instead of just doing single elimination, we decided to make it more exciting and do double elimination. So it'd be one seed versus four seed for game one, three seed versus two seed for game two. The losers of those games play each other in game three. The loser of that game is done. So they just got two extra games and they're gone. The winner of the first game and the winner of the second game are game four. The winner of the loser's game, the first loser's game, will play the loser of the first winner's game. And the winner of the game four, which was with the two winners, the winner of the game four is in the championship. The winner of game five, which is the loser of game four, and the winner of game three, goes on to play the winner of game four in the championship. If the winner of game five wins in game six, they will play one last time, which will be the winner of game six, which will be the team that also won game five, and the loser of game six, which will be the winner of game four. That's pretty much what the playoffs are going to look like. Every team is definitely going to be wanting to make it in the playoffs, but there are definitely going to be two teams that don't make the cut, and we will have a compensation match, basically a fifth place game for them. Thank you for listening.